We are continuing our series on the words of Jesus, but not only the words, the actions of Jesus. Rightly so, we spend a lot of time talking and thinking and praying and receiving his words. And this series called Jesus Verb, Jesus in parentheses, verb, we look specifically at his actions. Last week we talked about Jesus drove, and it was that scripture that makes a few of us a little nervous. Jesus got angry, and he went into the temple, and people weren't using it for what it was created for. And he began to turn over the tables of the money changers, and the doves flew away, and the cattle ran, and the sheep bayed and left. And then it says that the sick and the lame came to him, and he healed. Jesus drove. It's interesting how the word of truth always divides, isn't it? While everybody religious was leaving, and all the chaos was leaving, the sick and the lame came to him, and he healed. As we continue this morning, we're going to talk about the day that Jesus bent, and he stooped, and he declared. John chapter 7, verse 53, and then moving into chapter 8, verse 11, if you'd like to be turning there. Stones. I thought about handing everyone a stone this morning. Then I wasn't sure what you all would do with it. Stones can have a good purpose, can't they? I love when I'm camping or this child side of me comes out again and I start to look for stones to skip. And you know, the kind you're looking for, the flat kind, the round, rounder the better. We did this out at Lowell Park at Celebrate Family Day. Everybody was trying to find flat stones. And the kid come out on us all, and we went and skipped stones. We build with stones, and that's good. Sometimes we build walls to shelter us as a defense. But I've done my share of throwing stones at the wrong things. Back when I was a kid, Marcel and I could find abandoned properties in the country, and we broke a few windows with stones. You can have a stone in your shoe, it doesn't feel good at all. Sometimes stones are used for good things, and sometimes they're used for less than noble purposes. Let's read together John chapter 7, verse 53. Then each went to his own home. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn he appeared again to the temple courts. And when all the people gathered around him, he sat down and taught them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. And they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write. on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone." Again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first. Only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin." God's justice has sin-stopping power. It's not very culturally popular right now, but there is nothing wrong with calling sin, sin. Our sin causes God pain and always causes pain and damage to the one who sins. If a parent sees her child doing things that will hurt them, often the parent will intervene and may even appear angry. "What are you doing? Stop! Wait!" Sin is serious. And God makes it quite clear that sin will not have a place in His presence. Now, as believers, we are invited to agree with God regarding how He sees sin. Amen? Jesus was angry in our last sermon last week. Angry because of the potential, the effectiveness, and the power stolen from you and me because of sin. Angry because we knew better. And angry because of the damage that Satan has caused to our purity and power. But the child that does wrong does not become unloved by his parents. Rather, the parent reaches out and expresses passion and love, even to the child who's doing wrong. And it may appear to the child, "Oh, Mom and Dad is angry. What do I do?" But let's value that passion that God shares with his people. Amen? Discipline. Everybody love that word? Discipline. We can learn to love it because it is a means of receiving the grace of God. Discipline. In fact, the Bible says that He disciplines those He loves. Hebrews 12:6. The Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Does that mess with your theology a little bit? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. As a father, the son He delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding." Jesus died to redeem lost people, to buy us back from the penalty and punishment of sin. And to agree with God about sin is to embrace His actions towards sin. Are y'all with me? Tracking? Okay. Do I need to back up? Start again? No? Okay. All right. Sometimes we get it wrong, though, don't we? When I agree with God and I embrace His actions towards sin. Are y'all with me? Sometimes when I agree with Him and I'm trying to do what He would do, I get it wrong. Even sincere Christians can look at people, size them up, pass judgment, and begin to look for stones. Sometimes it's easier to see the faults of others before we see our own faults. Jesus said, before you pass judgment on anybody, before you attempt to take the speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye, first take the plank out of your own eye. And having worked in a workshop for the majority of my years, I know what it is to get a little speck of sawdust in your eye, under the eyelid, and it drives you crazy. And somebody in the workshop will say, here, let me help you. And it's like, go to the sink and wash it out. Sometimes that doesn't help. But Jesus said, before you try to take the speck of dust out of someone else's eye, remove the plank or the board from your own. Wow. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take this speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. As the Pharisees take this woman from whatever room she was in with a man, she becomes a pawn in their elaborate setup to get Jesus to make a judgment that would contradict either his compassion or the law of Moses. Because it was the law of Moses that an individual caught in the act of adultery would be stoned. Oh, but Jesus, this new rabbi, popular, gaining quite a following, is known for his compassion. Would he really consent to a public execution in the street? And so the Sadducees, or the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said, here is a perfect setup. And they had the table set. Here's Jesus seated. He's teaching. He is in the position of authority. That's kind of the opposite. I would be seated if I was a Jewish rabbi this morning teaching. And as they taught, the students absorbed the teaching. So there was Jesus seated, and they brought a woman before Jesus, and they made her stand before him. Do you see the difference in the postures of the bodies? By the way, let's not forget that there was indeed a man involved in this situation, and it doesn't make sense for the Pharisees, who were all men, to bring the woman and not the man. Maybe the man got away. I don't know. But both of them were guilty. But one thing is clear that comes from the flesh, the behavior that comes from the flesh never has to make sense. The stone throwing began when they discarded being just. The motive of these leaders was not to promote the things of God, but instead, they were promoting their own righteousness and were looking for a way to trap Jesus. I don't know, maybe I this morning would come down hardest on the Pharisees. What are they doing? After all, their behavior is despicable. If we're not careful, though, we too can get upset about things that we want to change. And there may be even a bigger problem going on in our own life. The truth of the matter is this. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned, and we've all pointed fingers at others, when the attention could have just as well been on us for doing maybe even the very same thing. The reality of throwing stones is this. Why were these men so intent on destroying Jesus? The root of the cause flows from an unforgiving, prideful heart, a heart that will neither let go of past pains or endure current difficulties, a heart that finds its own righteousness in the faults of others. A heart that finds its righteousness in the faults of others. I'm more righteous than that person, or I'm not as sinful as that person, therefore I am righteous, is not good theology. But sometimes we resort to it. Jesus had disturbed their way of life. He had challenged their preconceived ideas of religion. He had threatened their power, the Pharisees. They had the law on their side. But here was Jesus appealing to the masses. Large numbers of people. And Jesus was disturbing their systematic application of the law. Find a person in sin, apply the law, break the wrist, and walk away. You've sinned. Here's the consequences. Now be on your way. And for this woman, matter of factly, it meant death, and a very painful death at that. It's like giving demerits and detentions day after day without ever calling a meeting with the parents and sitting down with the child and trying to figure out what's going on in that child's life that might be causing all this acting out. So why did they really want to throw these stones? The same reason maybe that others throw, trying to defend our position. I have a right to act or feel this way because there have been many times on the job scene that I was just working so hard and not producing the same results as others. And it was then that the person with the true knowledge of the process came and would show me a new way. But because of my muscle memory and I wanted to defend my position and say, that surely can't work. I've been doing it this way for 2 years. But the one with knowledge comes to me and says, no. Do it this way. It may take you a little bit to learn, but you'll be more effective and you'll produce more. And it'll be easier on you. Truth. The truth that God's sharing into our lives right here, right now, it's easy for us to say, no! Or someone coming along beside us and say, hey, have you thought about doing it this way? We pick up a stone. No! And we defend our position. Sometimes we throw stones because we're holding on to bitterness. Sometimes we throw stones because we're entangled in anger. Sometimes we throw stones because we want to have revenge. And sometimes we throw stones because we will not let go of the things that upset us. I have a right to feel this way. And Jesus said, any of you without sin may be the first to cast a stone. We have all made mistakes and we have all sinned, the Bible says. And we all have the same spiritual need for Jesus. Now, we would never actually consider throwing stones at each other. But sometimes we do hurl emotional grenades, don't we? Or spiritual stones, hurtful comments. We could use unfair generalizations, gossip, judgmental statements, being harsh with the truth, can be like throwing a stone. Sometimes we throw stones because we're frustrated, we're fatigued, or we're dealing with failure. Sometimes we're dealing with false assumptions and we pick up a stone. Sometimes we just feel bad. And we think, somebody's got to pay. The moment we seek retribution for wrongs done to us, whether real or imagined, we lose a piece of our relationship with God. And once this happens, it becomes much, much easier to throw stones, and we use things that happen to us as a way of justifying our actions. So, back to our scripture. Jesus rejected the idea of them throwing stones, and he straightened up. Now, I want you to imagine what the scene looked like. If Jesus was seated and a woman was brought to him standing before him, the Bible says that he straightened up, but it doesn't say that he stood up. There's significance to that, because Jesus at no time stands above the accused and twice he bends down, second time he stoops down and he writes something in the dust. Now we don't know what that message was, or even if it was a message. Maybe John wasn't close enough to see what was written in the dust. And maybe that wasn't the point of this interaction. The point was, recorded by John, that Jesus dealt with this situation and he broke the systematic application, the mindless application of the law. And he helped everyone see that day that she was more than a perpetrator. She was a person. And he kept his body low. He bent down. He stooped. Jesus is the only one who has both the right and the reason to condemn. Jesus always condemns the sin and loves the sinner. Sin, in essence, is the corruption of God's creation, and we are called to look at the lives of others the way that Jesus does. Recognize sin for what it is, but love the person. Amen? I love this part. After Jesus bends down, he writes in the ground with his finger. He straightens up. He who is without sin casts the first stone, and he bends down again. He never takes a shoulders back. Simple truth speaks loud and clear. He declared something to the woman that did not dispose of the law, but affirmed it. And he set her on a new path. He said to the woman, he declared, go and leave your life of sin. I've got good news for all of us this morning. On the authority of God's word, we can be set free from the bondage of sin. Isn't that good news? The actions that reveal sin within us when we speak destructively, when we seek to create discord, when we stir up division, when we settle in for a long disagreement. Forgiveness, however, flows from the life of Jesus. It is empowered by his sacrifice on the cross, and it is finalized by the triumph of the resurrection. Holding on to any stones today? Stones of bitterness? Stones of anger, hatred, prejudice. And as we release the stones, there's a thud, a dead thud in the dust. A potential energy drain has been released. And instead of throwing stones, we receive the word of Jesus, go and sin no more. In conclusion, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't yield to the power of the group that day, but stood for the truth? That would have been really hard to do. By this time in Judaism, the application of law was a lot like the sacrificial system. It had lost its heart. Buy a sacrifice, get it sacrificed, go home. Find a lawbreaker, apply the law, break the wrists, and walk away. And Jesus stopped that day. And he calls our attention to see people not as perpetrators, but as people dearly loved by God. Amen. Isn't that good news? I know that's hard. I know that's hard. I didn't write this stuff. Well, I wrote some of it. I didn't write the core of what we're talking about today. He defended the accused. Aren't you glad we're not alone? Amen. He meets us where we are, even in the dust. So our verbs for today are Jesus bent, stooped, and declared. I wonder if there was even more to this whole thing about Jesus bending down. It was more than just to get close to the ground to write a message, or maybe it was to convey body language to the rest of the group. I don't have to overpower you with man-given authority. Truth is the truth. God loves people. But he will not tolerate sin. And he will deal with it. Amen. Isn't that good? Learn to love discipline. Jesus bent. As he did, he became lower than the Pharisees and even lower than the woman who was caught in the sin. Everybody okay with that? Here again, grinds on my theology a little bit. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 in conclusion, and if our worship team would come on up. Says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He accepted our death penalty punishment. He lowered himself to receive the penalty for my sin. Praise God. Very visual, isn't it? Very vivid. He could have overpowered everybody around him, but he didn't. He stooped down and he wrote in the dust. And then he declared to the woman, "Now go, leave your life of sin." Go, leave your life of sin. Leave the old life. The law, identifying her action as a sin, was not disregarded. In fact, Jesus emphasizes the importance of keeping the law and living rightly. Notice that Jesus didn't say, "Now, go obey the law." Rather, he made a global, universal declaration. "Now, go leave your life of sin." In other words, give your old life no support. Leave it. Stop writing checks to support it. Stop sneaking cash to pay for it. Leave it. Leave the old life. I'm speaking, of course, of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Jesus said, "Go. Leave your life of sin. Sin no more. Stop supporting it. Stop giving it air. Stop giving it life. Stop resuscitating the old ways." Amen. Leave it. He declared with authority, "Go, leave your life of sin." I like that. In so doing, you will find new life. Relationship. And righteousness in him. I'm so glad he didn't yield to the pressure of the group. He defended the accused, which is all of us. We're not alone. He meets us where we are. He lowered himself in humility to own our sin so that he could take it all the way to the cross for us. Amen. Jesus, rescue us from our tendency to find easier ways to grow in you. Save us from our tendency to systematize our faith. And take our eyes off of who we're really putting our faith in. Jesus, save us from our belief that we can save ourselves. By simply identifying somebody that's sinning more than we are. Jesus, lead us in loving people as you do. Words are different, but the message is the same. Come, every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. Let's stand together and sing. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust. The truth, the way that leads you.